All right, so so of course our time together as a family should be quality time. It should be time where we can have family bonding, where we enjoy each other's company, we make memories together. And we always try to think of that, of different holidays or trips that we take on, right? We're all together taking time off. We want it to be a good time, right? We want to look back on it fondly. But of course, the thing is a lot of times the more we're together, the more we seem to find ways to rub each other the wrong way. And we might still be making memories, but they may not be good ones. And that's unfortunate. And so the thing is, too, is that when we're under stress, we often end up taking that out on each other in the family, and that makes the problem all the worse, right? And we don't want that, but that's what happens. So we want to ask that question: how can we have peace together in the home, especially in times of stress? And this is something that we recognize in what we're dealing with right now. Things are different. Schools are closed. We're all together a bit more than normal. We can't go out like we used to. We kind of cramped up together. And in a way we look at it, this could be a really good time. It could bring us together as families. But I think we maybe already have experienced that sometimes it's been a source of contention where we're kind of at each other for different reasons. And so in this time especially, we want to learn some of these lessons and want to encourage you, we can have peace in the home, even in times of stress. And so we want to begin considering the sources of strife. Why we fight, what brings on different times where we're contending with one another. And we do recognize, first of all, that fighting in the home is always counterproductive. We all lose no matter who wins the argument. And that's sometimes what we find, is that when we get into some kind of fight or disagreement, we're in it to win it. And we don't give up, we don't give in until we've won. But a lot of times what do we find at the end of it? Oh yeah, I won, but what did it cost me? And we find it just wasn't worth it. But we just can't help ourselves sometimes, right? And that's the thing, that there's part of each of us that just really feels the urge to fight, which refuses to back down, which if someone does something to us, we got to answer back. We have to respond. We can't let it go. We have to fight and contend and things. And it just, we're not winning by doing it. We're making things worse and worse each time we do it, but we can't seem to help ourselves. And of course, being family, we know each other really well. And so that means we know how to push each other's buttons. We know what everybody's pet peeves are. We know how to get under their skin. Even sometimes we don't even have to say anything. We can just give an expression on our face, even the tone of voice that we can get set each other off. And so when we know that, it makes conflict seem all the more inevitable. And so if we're going to stop fighting as a family, we first need to understand why we fight and what changes we need to make. And so we want to kind of think of that, take some time to think, why is this always coming up? Why are we fighting with one another? And so we want to consider that. All right, you guys got everything filled in? Okay, good job. All right, so the Bible identifies several different sources of strife. And we can recognize all of these in the home. First off is pride. It talks about in Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. And so pride, of course, is where we have really a higher view of ourselves than we should be. And you think with a lot of arguments, what happens? That someone says something to us that rubs us the wrong way, and we're upset because they didn't treat us with the respect that we felt we deserved, right? And then, of course, as well, is sometimes what's back of that person speaking to us in a way of disrespect is that they're maybe feeling down or something, and they figure, well, the way to lift myself up is to basically knock someone else down, right? And so... so often, when you really boil it down, that's what the problem is, pride. Where we're not wanting to listen to what someone has to say, or we don't think they've shown the right amount of respect to us, or paid enough attention to us. And so often, you think with two kids squabbling over a toy, right? It's that they think they should have it, and that they're more important than the other person. And they'll fight over it. Try to get it. And it's a source of, pride is a source of that. Proverbs 28 and verse 25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And so if we have pride in our heart, we're going to have strife. And that's really, we understand why God wants us to not have pride, because he knows all the trouble that it causes us. But secondly, another thing that is a source of strife is anger. Anger. And when we, something happens and we fly off the handle and we react in anger, that's really sets things off. It says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. And so we think about that. If we're full of wrath, if we're losing our temper, people say, well, how? That's not right. You shouldn't have reacted against me that way. And usually what happens is it just escalates back and forth. It gets worse and worse. Proverbs 29, verse 22, it says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a fierce man aboundeth in transgression. And so that's the thing. If we're angry, if we haven't learned to control our anger, then we're going to have strife in our home. Thirdly, it is an uncontrolled tongue, where we say something that we really shouldn't have said. A lot of times we might not have meant what we said. We said it without thinking. And it just gets us into trouble. Proverbs 18, verse 6, it says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. It says as well, a fool's mouth is his destruction, his lips are the snare of his soul. We can get ourselves in a heap of trouble by careless words. And so we really kind of think of that so often. We say things that we shouldn't. One thing a lot of times what we do with one another is we make fun of one another, right? And that's called scorning someone or mocking them. And it says in Proverbs 22 verse 10, cast out the scorn and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. When we're laughing at someone, we're insulting them, we're trying to again push them down in order to make us feel better, that's going to be a source of strife. And so we want to recognize that if that's present, that's going to cause a lot of trouble. It says, well, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tail bearer, the strife ceaseth. And so tail bearer is someone that's kind of like a gossip, right? Someone that's saying things that might not be true, kind of like a tattletale, right? And so we find that a lot of times that we have to, especially when we're young, we think if someone's done wrong, we have to get them in trouble ourselves. And that's just going to cause a fight. But then as well, we see meddling. This is kind of related to being a tattletale, but there's some things that really we have no business in, and a lot of times we need to learn to mind our own business sometimes. But a lot of times if someone's doing something, we got to stick our noses into it and see what's going on. And it says, chapter 20, verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And it talks about in Proverbs 26 and verse 17, it says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And that's the thing, like, we realize that. If you were to go to your dog and grab onto its ears and hold on, what's going to happen, right? That the dog's not going to like it. Eventually, once you let go, you're probably going to get nipped on the hand, right? That it just, it doesn't make sense to do that. But that's what we do so often. It's just we put our noses in other people's business, and we're worried about what they're doing, and a lot of times we need to focus on what we're doing instead. And so we see those, and I think all of us recognize those in different fights that we've had and disagreements, that these things are at play, and they kind of work in tandem with each other, that usually our pride is hurt, we react in anger, we say something we don't think about, and then somebody else kind of comes along and gets in to the middle of it, and it just gets worse and worse. And so we realize that these are a lot of the central issues that bring strife into our lives as a family. But as well, we have not only sources of strife, but also sources of stress. And so we realize there's many things that can contribute to stress in the home. First off is financial issues. When money's tight, just we're struggling to pay bills, but that's always a source of strife, source of stress. Sometimes it can be health issues if we're not feeling well, if there's different health problems that are coming up. And so we really kind of see with both of those in the situation we're in right now that those are coming into play, right? That we're worried about this virus and being sick and how that's going to affect us. But of course, in order to stem the tide of this virus, a lot of businesses are closed and people have been laid off, and so it puts us all in a tight place, right? And so these things that are happening, it does contribute to stress in the home. But as well, this can be unreasonable expectations too, that sometimes these are unreasonable expectations others put on us. Sometimes they're unreasonable expectations we put on ourselves. Sometimes what it is that we should be able to be content with what we have, but what do we think we need to do? We think we need to keep up with the Joneses. They've got this, and we think, well, I'm not going to be happy unless I have the same thing or maybe even a little bit better than them. Sometimes we have this idea of what we should be and how we should look in front of other people, and we try to put on this face of being this perfect family, when nobody expects us to be that, right? That most people realize that we all have struggles, and we don't. They'll understand when kids are kids, right? That it's not necessary, but there's unreasonable expectations that put stress on our lives. And someone has said expectations, unreasonable expectations can ruin relationships. And a lot of times where we are expecting something of someone else and they're not coming through, and we figure that they've failed us, that they're not doing for us what we figure they should do, and so then we're upset. And so we think of all these things that happen, right? And there's other thoughts too. And you can think of it this way as an example. Like, say you are going on a holiday, you're all taking a trip in the vehicle to some destination, you've been looking forward to it. But what happens, right? Everybody's in tighter quarters, and starting to annoy each other. Somebody sets something off in the back of the vehicle, where one person is upset at them for something they said or did, and then there's a squabbling in the back, and the person that's driving is just wanting to relax, but say you're pulling a trailer in heavy traffic, and it's kind of a windy day, and you just end up having all this stress, and you're just like reacting to that, and it gets to be a point where the trip is not fun, and it's like you, I remember one guy, he was going to the mountains, take his kids to see the mountains for the first time, and he had three daughters, I think, and they're all squabbling in the back seat, and he got so fed up that he stopped by the side of the road, and he said, okay, girls, come out, and it's like, see, there's the mountains, you've seen them, get back in the vehicle, we're going home, and just, of course, again, that's, you're making memories, but those aren't good memories, right? And but that's the thing, is that we get in those situations and we start reacting, overreacting, it builds and builds, and it's because of stress around us and where these things are happening to us. And but we want to recognize too that when we're under stress, that unfortunately the people that bear the brunt of our frustrations and things are our families. And we know that's not right, right? And but that's the problem. Say we're stressed out at work, stressed out with our government, decisions they're making, and of course we can't yell at our boss because then we'll get fired. And so instead we get home and we take it on our family. That's not right. And we have to recognize that, we need to find ways not to do that. But thing is, too, is that when we're under stress, we often choose poor ways of coping with our stress. And I think all of us do that, that sometimes it can be substance abuse, where we drink or we smoke, do other things. Sometimes it can be overeating. Sometimes it can be where we're upset, and so we just isolate ourselves in the den and binge watch different shows. And we realize, okay, that's not helping. That's making the problem worse. And so we want to realize that there's ways of coping with stress that are healthy. There are ways that are coping with stress that are unhealthy. And we have to identify when we're choosing an unhealthy way, because it's not helping us, not helping anyone else. But as well, often when we're under stress, what happens? We can't sleep because we're worrying about stuff. And so if we're experiencing fatigue, what generally happens? We're more cranky and we're less able to control our reactions. That you think a lot of times, when do you have some of your, a lot of times it's a thing, you just get started in the day, but people are waking up and they're tired, and so right away, before the day barely even starts, you have fighting happen because people are tired. And it could have been just because they didn't get to sleep soon enough. They stayed up later, and that was a poor decision. And but sometimes, of course, when you're under stress, you can't sleep. And so it gets to be kind of a vicious cycle. And but we want to realize that it isn't. We want to see that. It's not because of what someone did. A lot of times it's because I have the wrong attitude because I haven't gotten enough sleep. But we want to understand that no matter what's going on around us, we can't use that as a justification for wrong behavior. And yes, we're under stress right now in different ways, but that's not an excuse to say, well, I can get upset, I can lose my temper, I can lash out at my family, right? That we want to understand that's not acceptable. And we've talked about this already with some of the other things we've looked at with anger and worry and other things. It's not, the problem is not what's going on around us. The problem is what's going on inside of us. And we have to deal with what's inside of us. And a lot of times we're worried because we're focused on the wrong things in life. And we have to change our focus so that way we're not having those responses. And so I want to talk about the way of peace that God wants to show us. And we see this spoken of in James chapter 3. And I just want to read that with you. And it's the whole verse, or whole chapter, James 3, is talking about the problem we have with our tongues and what we say and the disagreements we have. And it says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And we would agree with that, right? When we have strife in the home, it causes all kinds of trouble, where sometimes people retreat, other people become rebellious. Other people there's just so many other wrong ways that we respond in that situation. It's not healthy, right? And then it says the next verse, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so it's the thing, is that there's good fruit that comes out of peace in the home. And we get that with this wisdom that comes from above. And so we want to consider some of this in our time remaining this evening. And it's the thing, that with the stress that we're under, with the bad habits that we've formed, we might think that peace in the home is impossible. But we want to understand that God wants to teach us how to have peace. And He wants to be a help to us in this. And it's interesting, this was a prophecy of Jesus given just before His birth, speaking of what He would do for us. And it says that He would give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so it's the idea, is that in our current situation, we find it hard to navigate out of this place of strife, this place of stress, and to a place where we can have peace in the home. And so He wants to light our path, to show us the way, to guide us in the way of peace. And so we want to realize that there is a way of peace, and it's a way that we interact with each other, the way that we learn. And so it's kind of the thing, is that there's two things that are threatening peace. So we have conflict in the home, strife because of pride and anger and uncontrolled tongue and meddling. But then there's also that we struggle to have peace because of the stress. And so we want to learn to deal with both of those. And so we first want to look in terms of the idea of stress, that how do we prevent everything that's going around us outside from ruining the atmosphere on the inside of our homes? Because really, what we should want our homes to be is that even though everything's going on around us outside, that home can be a safe haven where we know that we're loved, we know that we're safe, that we can have that idea that we're accepted, we're loved, and it's really kind of a refuge for us. And that's where we want to get to, but we understand there's a way to get there. And so it's the thought that we think of coping mechanisms that we do for stress that are negative. We want to think of positive coping methods. We want to think of spiritual coping methods. And so God says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, that we're not to be careful or anxious for anything, but everything with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, make a request known unto God. That we're to share with Him our worries and our cares and our troubles. And as we do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so we want to learn to do that. Where we have a problem, we see what's going on, we say, "Lord, I don't know what to do with this, I need your help." And so we learn to give our problems to Him. He says, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." And that's the thing, He's got broad shoulders, He can carry all of our worries and cares. He can deal with it a lot more than we can. That the problems that our world faces right now are bigger than all of us, right? That we can't carry them. And so we need to let Him carry them. And so it's learning to do that daily. Things we start to worry about, we feel anxious, that we learn to pray. And we pray and we basically give God our cares and our worries, and He gives us His peace. And that's what we see in John 14, verse 27, where Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." And so we don't need to let our hearts be troubled and afraid, that, because He gives us His peace. And as well, we have to learn to trust God to take care of us and our daily needs. And so we see that in Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus speaking in what's referred to as a Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 6 rather, he says, verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take ye no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" He says this, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And so it's thought, if he can take care of birds, we're way more important to him than birds. He can take care of us. And he says, verse 28, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" That he's saying, if you don't need to worry about what you're going to wear, I'm going to provide for you. I care about you. If I can make a flower that's just going to bloom and die, I can make it beautiful in what it is adorned with. Then you can know that I'm going to look after you. And so he says, "Therefore take no thought what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." God knows our needs, and he's well aware of that, and he is our provider. He is our shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That he is going to provide us what we need if we follow him. If we're wandering from him, things are going to be difficult. But if we're walking with him, we know he's going to provide. And that's what it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we make God our priority in our lives, then we can know he's going to look after us. And so he says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so he's saying, basically, take one day at a time. That we know with what everything is going on, and our minds can race to what could be and kind of worst case scenarios. But it's kind of the thing, we got to think about, okay, what do I have to deal with today? And it's one day at a time. We're going to see what happens. Things could change rapidly. Things may not change at all. We don't know. But no sense worrying about what may or may not happen in the future. Let's just deal a day at a time. And if we kind of break our lives down into manageable chunks and just kind of have this idea. I know I saw someone post something where having to deal with what we're dealing with right now, that they had kind of a circle of things that we can control, things that we can be concerned about right now. But then outside of the circle was all this stuff that we can't control. And the indication was, like, I don't need to worry about all that stuff out there. I need to worry about that stuff here. And that's the thing as families, that we kind of know in this time where there's this very contagious disease that's going around, that we know, okay, we need to take the precautions to keep ourselves safe as families. And the thing is, if we don't let it in, it's not coming into our home, right, if we do the necessary things. And so we don't have to worry about that. We can just trust that as we make the right decisions, we're careful that we can be safe. And so we think of that in dealing with stress. We need to not worry. We need to learn to pray, have a faith response. But it's this thought now as well, that when we're trying to deal with strife in the home, and if we're going to reduce conflict, there's things that we have to learn to control. And two things. We've got to learn to control our tempers, and we've got to learn to control our tongues. And it's something that the sooner we learn it, the better. If it's something that we learn when we're young, it's a whole lot better. That it's kind of the thing, when you enter into marriage, you should be able to control your emotions and not lash out in anger. But of course, a lot of us haven't figured that out, and we get ourselves into a lot of trouble by what we say. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." And we can realize that. When we say something without thinking, it gets us in a heap of trouble. And there's a lot of times where we have something on our lips and our brain just kind of says to us, "You should not say that." But then we blurt it out anyways. And it just, we need to learn to cease in those different things. It talks about James chapter 1, verse 19, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." And that's the thing, is that we need to be good listeners. And that's so often what happens in an argument. We're not even listening to the other person, right? We're ready to say our point, and we're not really communicating. I remember this one time at a job site. We were doing a demolition at Cominco in Trail, BC, and we had these two guys that kind of didn't like each other, and it was something, they got into an argument, and there's all this noise in the plant going on. They couldn't even really hear each other, and what was really ironic was that they were actually, if they had taken time to listen to each other, they were actually agreeing with each other. But because they couldn't hear, and because they weren't listening, they didn't even know that. And so it was really kind of embarrassing. But that's sometimes what happens. We're not listening, we're just talking. And so we need to learn to do that. We want to be quick to hear, we want to be slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And it's kind of the thing, we think of what in the movie Bambi from long ago, what Thumper's mom said to him is good advice from any parent. It's like, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. And we have to learn to do that, right? It just, if it's not helpful, we might as well not say it. We really want to think about that. Proverbs chapter 17, it says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." And so if we can learn to tame our tongues, that's going to solve a whole lot of our problems. That we learn to just to not say what we shouldn't say to one another. But as well, we need to learn to be gentle rather than harsh in the way we communicate. But that's a lot of times where we happen. What we might say might be true, but we don't say it in a good tone of voice, and people react to that. And so we're not to strive, we're to be gentle unto all men, and be patient with them. We see in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And so often what happens is we say something and we don't have a measured response. We react, we're upset, and so we say something, and it might even be true, it might even need to be said, but if we say it harshly, it's going to be counterproductive. It's not going to get through. We need to be able to calm down enough to say it with gentleness, so that way it can be taken in and be helpful. And as well, we want to recognize that it's always easy to be critical and negative, but instead we need to be seeking to edify each other. And that's the thing, is that if we're looking for someone to criticize someone about, someone to point out where a person isn't done something right, we can always find something. But that is not a hard thing to do. And it's easy to be negative, but we really realize that, again, it's that pride that so often we're negative with everyone else because we're not willing to look at our own issues that we need to deal with. And so being critical of others kind of, it's a way that we push away our own feelings of insecurity and try to distract ourselves from that. And so we need to stop that. We don't appreciate when people are negative, critical of us. We don't need to do it to others. And so instead we need to edify each other. And edify, what that word simply means is to build up, to help a person become a better person, to encourage them, to challenge them, that we're trying to do that. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19, it says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." And so we really want to think about that. Is this going to help this person? Is this going to build up this person and build up our family by saying or doing this? And again, we realize if it doesn't, then it doesn't need to be said. And it's the thing is that we need to learn to praise one another. If we're always hesitant and reluctant and stingy in giving praise, that doesn't encourage people to do right. And it's kind of the thing that, like a principle that I've seen talked about a lot is the idea is that we praise people in our family in public. If we need to give correction or things like that, it should be done in private, just between the two of us. We don't need to embarrass someone. That's an easy way to provoke them to anger. And so we want to learn to do that. But then as well, we have to learn to forgive and forget when we've done each other wrong. And there's always times where we say something or do something that hurts the other person. And we need to make that right away. We need to acknowledge it. We need to value that person's feelings. But it's the thing is that once we've made it right, we need to let it go. And a lot of times what happens, unfortunately, is we say, "Oh, I forgive you," but then it's almost like we take that thing that they did and we store it for use later. It's sort of like this card, that trump card that we can play if we get into another argument. That's like a person complains about something we did and say, "Well, remember what you did here?" And it's the thing, the person immediately reacts to that because they thought, "I thought you forgave me for that. I thought this was forgotten." But instead, we've just held on to it. So we need to let that go. And that's what it says in Ephesians, that all bitterness and wrath and clamor has to be put away from us, right? And that we'll be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And so we need to learn to forgive as God forgives us. Where when we're forgiven, it's remembered no more, that our sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. God casts our sins in the depths of the sea. He's never going to bring them back again. And so we need to have that same attitude of forgiveness to each other. That way we can have healing after we've had trouble. And so we see in Numbers 6, this is a blessing that Aaron the priest was to give to the people of Israel. But I want to share that with you, and this is kind of God's prayer for each of us as families. It says, "Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." That we want to have his peace, and he wants to give it to us. And he is the God of peace, that he is a source of peace in our lives. And so he wants us to experience his peace as we draw near to him. We want to go to him and have him give us a calm, to really calm the storm of our hearts. And then as we learn to do that, then we can learn how to live in peace with each other. And it is possible to have peace in the home. And it's not something that we necessarily know how to do it ourselves, but God wants to help us. And as we We seek Him. He can give us that help that we need. So that brings us to the end of our lesson, and so appreciate you joining us, and hope that this has been helpful. And again, if anything specific you might need help with through this time, just maybe someone to talk to, feel free to give me a call sometime, and be glad to help. Number is 460-4688. But certainly be praying for you through this time, and just praying for you with your home that you'd be able to have peace. So let's pray, and then we'll be done for the evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for the help that you want to be for us, the wisdom that you seek to give, and just the help you, practical help you want to give us in the things that we're dealing with. We just pray for our homes during this time. Pray that despite what's going on around us, that our homes might be a safe haven, and that this time might be well spent, and that we would make good memories and be encouragement and a blessing to each other. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, of course,